Let's turn tonight to Romans chapter 12. We're going to take a look at dating part 3, which would be, if we would look at the first two parts, they were choosing a mate. Now it would be preparing for marriage. So the actual dating. So preparing for marriage. I just want to share with you this lady who was complaining to her husband. I'm homesick. I'm homesick. The husband said, but you're at home. She said, I know. I'm sick of it. All right, so let's review. Let's review part 2. The last time I was here 2 weeks ago, we said that God has a person picked out for you. You might be called to be single. You may not have any desires of getting married. But we said not to worry. It is a good calling. We saw in Psalm 37, verse 4, to delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Might be married or might be single, regardless of what it is. The main thing is to delight yourself in the Lord. And we explain what it is to delight yourself in the Lord. It's to take joy in nothing else but in Jesus Christ. We also said it was very important as you are dating to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. We explain what it means. It means that you make Jesus Christ Lord of every aspect of your life, including providing a mate for you. And it also means that you should live a righteous, pleasing life to the Lord. Seek first the kingdom of God. That's Matthew 6:33. Then we said that God will show the person He has for you in His time. Not too soon, that you may not be ready, or that person might not be ready for you. I believe that. So, he or she might not be ready yet. So you have to be patient. We saw how you will know you have met the one God chose for you. Very simple. If you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, you will know. Because Romans 14:7 says, the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy. So you will know you have met the right person if it is righteous, peaceful, and joyful. We said that your dating might not be of God if he or she is taking you away from God, away from studies, away from your reading, away from praying. It's not of God. Whoever that person is that you are dating, if he or she is doing this, it is not of God. Guarantee. If he or she is always insisting on sexual sin or any impurity, it is not of God. Very simple and clear. If he or she is always fighting, arguing, striving, upset, it is not of God. There's no peace. There's no joy. So, very simple to know if it is of God. And we also saw that the big problem in dating is patience. No time for long courtship anymore. And we said if your love has to move fast, there is something wrong with it. Because one of the attributes of God's love, love is patient. So if your love is not patient, if you must get married right away, and it's not of God. We saw last week the love story of Jacob and Rachel, how he waited for her 7 years. And then he said that those 7 years seemed to him as a few days. Very few nowadays would wait that long. Why is it very important to be patient? Because you have to build a proper foundation. That dating might be a marriage that is to last a lifetime. So you have to build a strong, good foundation so the whole thing will not collapse the first time it is shaken. And we also saw in Psalm 127:1, unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. So unless the Lord is building your relationship, unless He is building the two of you, building this marriage, you are working in vain. And we also said that your ambition and heart desire should be to please the Lord in your dating life. Very important. Not to please yourself, to please her, to please me, to please him, but to please the Lord. Alright, so that was part two. Now tonight we're going to take a look at part three of the dating. Let's start with Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Paul is, in chapter 12, telling us the Christian duties. So now, I beg you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Present your body to who? It says, unto God. Not unto him, not unto her, but unto God. I beg you, therefore, every time you see that word, therefore, it is there for something. When he closed in previous chapter, verse 36, he said, for of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. So because of him, from him, to him are all things. All things including your body, yourselves, to God, from God, God. So that's why he said, I beg you, therefore, because of that, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice is not a dead one. It's not a one-shot deal. That you present yourself, you offer your body to God once when you became a Christian or when you got baptized or when you received the Holy Spirit. It is not a one-shot deal. Not once in a lifetime. And it's done with it. It must be done on a daily basis. Each and every day, you present yourself, your body, a living sacrifice, not a dead one, a living sacrifice unto God, acceptable, which is just fair, which is your reasonable service. That's what it means, which is just fair. He made you. He gave you everything you have. He created everything. He called you, he gave you faith that you have. He gave you everything you have. So it is just fair that you present yourself to God. So you must want God's will in your life every day. Every day. And if you are seeking, like we said last week, if you are seeking first the kingdom of God, you will present your body unto God and not to him and not to her. Very important. Then he continued and he said, and be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed to this world. To you he is saying, be not conformed to the world's way of dating. You remember, I'm sure all of you in this room have dated in the past. You have dated the world's way. You know what it is, the world's way of dating. The world's way is try to impress. If you're a guy, you're gonna get your best threads. You're gonna shine your car. You're gonna clean it. It's a mess 99% of the time, but this time you're gonna be clean. The car's gonna be clean. You're gonna starve to death for 2-3 days so you can take her to the best restaurant just to impress. You're somebody. That's not real. That's fake. That's the way the world is dating out there. That's the way I was dating. Try to impress the girl with the same thing. Same thing. They try to impress. They get their best thing. They watch their mouth. They would not swear. Not on the first date. Are you kidding me? They try to get from the other one. Trying to get. Not give, get. I was there. The dating was a game. Trying to get. Can you clean my pants? Can you sew my buttons? Can you do that? Always trying to get from the girl. Could care less. It was always a game of getting. And that is not what God is asking you, not to be conformed to this world. Dating in the world is it's okay to kiss on the second date. Not the first date. Are you kidding? Second date. That's the world's way. That's not the Christian way. They try to set traps. It's okay to do it. To do it, we are in love. And if she says no, he said, you don't love me. Remember those games people would play? This is the world's way of dating. And God said, no, you are new. You are not the same. You're not like this. So it is not okay to touch each other because we've been dating for a long time. We know each other well enough now. God says, no, this is the world's way. He said, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Whatever it's in your mind right now, what you remember of the dating in the world, whatever other people have told you, whatever you've seen on TV, the way they are dating. He said, you be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Erase what's in your mind about the old ways of dating. And be transformed. Be renewed. Have a new mind. A new way of dating. And that's what we are going to see tonight. The difference in dating and fellowshipping. Dating is the world's way. Fellowshipping is Christian. How you being transformed? By the renewal of your mind. Philippians 2:5, Paul said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So be transformed to God's way of dating. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove, that you may test what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 1. Paul said, now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. So in your dating relationship, it is very important that you remember that. Why does he say it is good for a man not to touch a woman, and he doesn't say it is good for a woman not to touch a man? The man is the head of the household. He is the spiritual leader. He is the one supposedly responsible for the spiritual relationship. So it is good for a man. It is good for the head of household, for the spiritual leader, not to touch a woman. The word touch is the Greek word haptomai, which is to embrace, to hold on. Other religion, other churches use that word, say you cannot touch a woman, you cannot shake hands, you cannot give a hug. It is not true. That is just stretching it to the max. The word is haptomai, and that's embrace, holding on. H-A-P-T-O-M-A-I. Haptomai. Just prior to this statement, Paul said in the previous chapter, starting with verse 13 and all the way to verse 20, that impurity is condemned for us Christian. Starting with verse 13, he says, 12, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. They are not good. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. I guarantee you, if you start touching a woman, you will be brought under the bondage, under the power of it. You will not be able to stop. Oh, one-shot deal, just tonight, and then I'll leave you alone until we get married. It's not true. It will not happen. You will be brought under the power of it. Meats for the belly for meats. But God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God has both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by his own power. Don't you know that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What? Don't you know that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, he said, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man does is without the body. But he that commits fornication sin against his own body. And don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. They belong to God. He owns us. He bought us. So you have no right on your own body, even less on somebody else's body. So don't start the guilt trips of you don't love me and those things of the world. You have to be transformed. You have to be renewed. Change your mind. Most of you have dated in the past. It is harder for somebody who did date in the world to date in a Christian life, Christian church. So remember those scriptures. They're very important. Now, let's take a look at the first marriage, Genesis 2. Genesis chapter 2, we're going to start with verse 18. We're in the Garden of Eden. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. If you remember, in Genesis chapter 1 verse 4 was the creation of the first day. God created the light and he said, it is good. On the second day, he created the earth in verse 10 and he said, it is good. On the third day, he created the fruits and the vegetables in verse 12 and he said, it is good. The fourth day, he created the moon and the sun. And again, he said, it is good. On the fifth day, he created the fishes and the birds. And he said, it is good. On the sixth day, he created the cattle, the beast. He said, it is good. Then he created man on the same day. And now he is saying, it is not good that man should be alone. So, for a man to be alone, it is not good. Paul said, if you are single, if you are not married, seek not a wife. Because God can use you much easier if you're alone, if you're single, than if you are married. If you have a wife and six kids, it's real hard to pack all of those bags and sell the furniture and go from one place to the other and go minister here and there. If you are single like Paul was, you can just jump on a ship, on a plane, on a train and go. But God says it is not good for a man to be alone, that is lonely, a man that is not happy. We are not complete when we are one. So God gave us a helpmeet, which is a gift of God. He said, I will make him a helpmeet, not a drag meet, a helpmeet for him. The word meet can be fit. I will make a help fit for him. The woman was brought to man, one, that she might relieve his loneliness, his solitude, by her companionship. She was brought to man that she might be his helpmeet in the struggles of life. You can go through much more if you are two than if you are one. One should encourage the other. Ecclesiastes said, if one fall, the other one lift you up. So, God brought a woman to man that she might receive his love, his protection, his care. You can see it's a two-way street. She was brought to man for some reason, to relieve the man from his loneliness, to help the man in the struggle of life, and to receive. So she was brought to men to give and to receive. And remember that in your dating relationship and in your marriage. To give and to receive. And give comes first. Give and receive. Two-way street. There's a Hebrew proverb that says, woman was not made from a man's head to be above him, nor from his feet to be walked upon by him, but from his side to be close to his heart, to be equal. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every birds of the air. And he brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name of it. And Adam gave names to all cattle, the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept. And he took one of his ribs. The Hebrew word there means a cell, not really a rib, a cell. Not like a clone cell, it might be a blood cell, the word is referred to as a cell. A rib, and close up the flesh instead thereof. After hearing this story, this thing, a little boy, I've been running and had gotten a bad side ache. And he came to his mother and he said, I think I'm going to have a wife. From that, kids are nuts. That was from that verse. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman, and he brought her unto the man. Just like in a wedding. He did not let Adam find her as he woke up. He did not let Adam go look for her in the garden. Adam knew he was lonely. God knew he was lonely. But God brought her unto the man. And that should be good for you as well. Let God bring you your helpmeet, your husband, the one he has for you. Very important. God brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. In Hebrew, it's easier to say, because man is ish. I-S-H. Woman is isha. I-S-H-A. From man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Leave comes before cleave. Leave must come before leave. The same as marriage must come before sex. Marriage is a public thing. It's similar to baptism. It is an outward ceremony, an outward sign to proclaim you have made a commitment to God and to this person. Baptism is an outward sign to tell the world, the people around, I have made a commitment. There was a change in my heart. I accepted Jesus Christ in my heart. I am a new person. I am a new creation. Therefore, I will be baptized so you guys may see what happened in my heart, in my life. Marriage is the same thing. You invite people. You have your picture in the newspaper. You send out invitation. You are telling the people the change in your heart. The commitment you have made to God to live with that person the rest of your life. There's a change in your life, a change in your heart. So marriage is only the outward sign. It's a commitment in your heart to God first and then to that person. So the word cleave is means glued together, not stuck, glued. Stuck is when you don't like it. Glued is when you do. So if you are living together, you are not and cannot be one. Only in a marriage relationship will God spiritually binds and grafts the two spirits together. He will graft you together and make you one. If you are not married, God will not and cannot do that. Furthermore, He will not even bless your living together relationship. You have to be married. I've seen many who tried. They said it's the same thing. What difference a piece of paper can make in people's life? We live together, we sleep together, we eat together, everything is just the same. We even have two kids together. It's not the same. It is not the same. God cannot graft your two spirit together and He won't bless that living together relationship. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Purity. Now, what is dating God's way? Dating God's way would be, pray together before you're going out on your date. Whenever you can, pray together. James 4:8 says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Do you want God in your relationship? Do you want God to go with you on your date? Draw near to God, the two of you, and God will draw near to the two of you. The most important thing you should be looking for or want to know about a person is, where is this person at with Jesus Christ? Very important, because, sad to say, we have too many fakes. Too many so-called Christians who carry a big Bible with a lot of notes in it, who use the Christian cliches, look real good. It's important for you to know, because if it becomes serious, if there's marriage involved or contemplating marriage, you must know, where is this person at with Jesus Christ? You can get to know someone better in 10 minutes of prayer than 2 or 3 hours of conversation. I guarantee you. He may not want to pray with you. She may not want to pray with you. Give him time, give her time. But it's very important, especially the guy. The man is to be the spiritual leader. The leader leads spiritually. Prayer is a spiritual thing. So the man should be the one leading, but the woman also should pray. Because you can tell where a person is at with Jesus Christ in prayer. Another thing, get into the Word together. Have little Bible studies. If you go for counseling at Calvary Chapel of Napa, they're gonna ask you. You're gonna have to get into little Bible studies before you get married. It's part of the marriage counseling. I have been doing premarital counseling. And as we go from now on, I will use a lot of the stuff from premarital counseling. And this is one of them. Have little Bible studies. Does it mean you have to get into a pulpit and a stool and sit the wife-to-be or the girlfriend right there and say, today, turn in Haggai and... No, just sit on the floor, on the couch and make it comfortable. Just read something. Go over it and let the Spirit of God minister to you and share with one another what the Spirit is speaking to you. It's very important to get into the Word together. Serve the Lord together. Get involved in a ministry together. Visit the sick, the old folks, convalescent ministry. Witnessing, go on the street. Important to serve together. When you are married, chances are you will be involved in the same ministry. Whatever your husband is doing, he's going to need support. You're going to need to serve with him in the same field. Screen all entertainments. carefully. Concerts, movies, are they okay? Will they cause you or the other person to fall? What kind of concert? Rock music? Dope? Everywhere around? What kind of movies? Sex? Is it going to lift you up? Build you up spiritually? Or is it going to destroy you or her? Again, it is the men's leadership, spiritual leader, the head of household, but also the girl. If he is not doing it, if he is not screening the entertainment, the places you go, you're going to have to tell him. It's not right. The movie's not right. It's rated X, X, X. We're not going to this one. The concert is acid rock. Everybody is smoking pot. It smells. You get high from 3 blocks away. We ain't going to this one. It is your responsibility as a Christian to screen the entertainment, the places you go together. Now, if nothing happens in that dating relationship, you don't get married. You realize it's not the one God has for you. You will not get married to that person. So what? What did you lose? You had a good time. Good, clean fellowship. You served the Lord. You grew spiritually, the two of you, and individually, stronger. Nobody got hurt. You can start with someone else, a new relationship again. On the same basis. This one. The praying together, little Bible study together, the serving together, getting involved together, and screening the entertainment. Galatians, I believe, 6. If a man be overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. If you are dating on this basis, Christian way, you will be able to restore the brother that is taken in a fault. You will be able to strengthen, to restore that person. And have a good relationship. It is very important because she may be your wife, he may be your husband, but before all of this, she is your sister. He is your brother in the Lord. Only one God. He made her, he made him. We are brothers and sisters. So it's very important to be strong spiritually, that the relationship may be spiritual. Don't place too much importance on the outside, on the looks. Your beauty does not come from the outward adorning. It comes instead from your inner self. The inward you will shine brighter than makeup and fancy clothes, designer styles, any other stuff you can use. The inward you is the real you. And that's what counts. Now, I want to talk to the guys only. The girls, you don't have to go. You can stay. Now, guys, what kind of girls should you be looking for? You don't have to answer. What kind of girl should you be looking for? Proverbs 31:30 says, beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Also, Proverbs 31:10, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. What is a virtuous woman? It's a godly woman. Very important to get a godly woman. When you are gone to work and she is at home, you know that she is raising your children a godly way. You are at peace. If she is at work, you know that she is having a godly relationship with her employer, with other employees. You know she is a godly woman. You can trust her. You let her go anywhere, anytime, any work. You know that no matter who she meets, no matter who she is working for, she is a godly woman. And that's very important. If she's not a godly girl, don't lose your time, don't lose her time preparing for marriage. That will not be a godly marriage. If she's not a godly person, godly woman, if he's not a godly man, can you have a godly marriage? So don't lose her time, don't lose your time. Wait on the Lord. Just continue waiting on the Lord and do what we said in part one. Get your relationship with Jesus Christ right first. Might be you, might be him. If it's not going to be a godly marriage, just slow down, be patient, go back to square one, get your act straight with Jesus Christ, then get back into a dating relationship. But not until then. Proverbs 19:13. If she's not a godly person, a godly woman, the contentions of a wife are a continual dropping. I have two parrots. I know what dropping is. Proverbs 21:9. Proverbs 21:9 says, it is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. So you're better off single on the roof alone than with this woman in a beautiful big house. Now Proverbs 21:19 continues, Solomon, a wise guy, said, it is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. 25:24. It is better to dwell in the corner of the housetop again than with a brawling woman and in a wide house. He repeats it. Twice he said it. And again, Proverbs 27:15. What did he say this time? A continual dropping in a very rainy day.
Which one is that?
Proverbs 27:15. A continual dropping in a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. That's from Solomon, was not me.
He's pretty wise
there. So anyway, for you guys, what you are looking for is a godly woman. Very important. It is not what she looks like. It is not how she dressed, how beautiful. This is not the figure. It is not how smart. It is godly woman. Just remember that. Now, for the girls, what kind of guys... I go easy on a guy. What kind of guys should you be looking for? The same one. You must be looking for a godly man. You are looking for a spiritual leader. Not what he looks like. It is not what kind of job he has. It is not what kind of car he's driving. It is not how he dresses. What kind of man is he spiritually? Is he a spiritual leader? This is the quality number one. Is he a spiritual leader? Chances are, if he is a newcomer, if he is a new Christian, you don't have a spiritual leader. No offense. It is something you must, to be a leader, you must have discipline. Discipline in your study. Discipline in your prayer life. Discipline in your fellowship. And a newcomer cannot, after being a Christian 2 months, 2 weeks, 2 hours, cannot say, I'm a spiritual leader. And don't forget, you must have a spiritual leader. If you get a carnal leader, he's going to lead you to trouble. A lot of trouble. So you don't want a carnal leader, you want a spiritual leader. Do not get involved with a man that does not love Jesus Christ 100%. If he cannot love God, how can he love you? It's impossible. He will not love you if he is not loving God with all his heart. God who created him, God who gave him everything, God who keeps him alive every day, every breath that we take is a gift of God. He's keeping us alive. He could cut air supply. We would all be crawling the floor in about 3 minutes. Purple and all dead. We'd look good, all right? My favorite color. But anyway, you are looking for a spiritual leader. Watch for fakes. The make-believe Christians. Plenty of them. They carry the big Bible. They know all of those cliches.
Praise God.
That's right. If he does not have a heart to serve the Lord, he will not serve you. God said, serve one another. Minister to one another. And if he cannot serve God, if it's humbug, I prefer sit and watch TV, you're going to have quite a leader. He is going to watch TV and forget you, Jack, before a year. Guarantee. So you're looking for a leader, you're looking for a spiritual man. Does he have a Christ-like attitude? That's very important. We did a study on Christ-like attitude. It's on the list. If you don't remember, we cannot go through all the study. It was an hour long. But he must have those attributes, though, that Christ-like attitude. If it's a guy who is always mad and go for your throat the minute you say something wrong or do something wrong, it is not right. Like they were interviewing this old couple. They had been married for 50 years. A reporter went there and was asking questions and asked the lady, what would you say is the reason for your long, successful and happy marriage? She said, well, it started on our honeymoon. We went to the Grand Canyon. We rented some mules to go down the bottom. And my husband's mule was kind of stubborn. The first time the mule stumbled, my husband got off, grabbed the mule by the ears, shook the mule vigorously and said, that's one. Got on the mule, we continued. A little bit later, the mule again stumbled and gave him a hard time. He got off the mule, grabbed the mule by the ears, shook the mule vigorously and said, that's two. And we went again. It was not 15 minutes later. Problem again with the mule. He got off, took his gun, and shot the mule. And when I protested and I was not happy with it, he grabbed me by the ears and said, "That's one." And they made it 50 years happy. But anyway, if your husband or the guy that you're going out with is shaking you vigorously, he does not have a Christ-like attitude. So just make sure that you have a man with a Christ-like attitude. He is... It is very important, and it is getting late, and we're going to stop here, and we're going to continue next week with part 4. But remember these things that we covered tonight. Very important how you are going to be dating. A lot of churches, they are against dating. You cannot be against it. It can be done God's way, a beautiful way, for both of you to grow spiritually. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time. We thank you, Father, for your concern and your love for us. You want the best for us. We're the one who choose less. And Father, we just ask that you be with each and every one of them in this room. Bless them, Father, in their relationship, future relationship, the ones to come. Just be with them, Father, and let them have that beautiful relationship with one another, with you. Your way, not the world's way, but God's way. And we ask, Lord, that you help them to continue in your way. We thank you for each and every one of them. We thank you for the work you've done in their lives. We see your work. We see the result. We see the fruits, Father. And we ask that you continue with them. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.